League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson. Ain't
no mountain high enough for the Gloss. Carla Dawson, my Monday night delight. Welcome into the show.
Welcome back from Thanksgiving.
Yes, I've slimmed down. There was no doubt about that. And actually, we're on to Cyber Monday now.
We are on to Cyber Monday.
Big shopping day.
And with my big $50 million raise from 2 weeks ago, I am ready to get busy.
Well, we barely got you on the air and over to the microphone. I saw you down there at the computer, scrolling through sites, buying a lot of goods.
I can't help myself.
What does a woman like you, a woman who has everything, want for Christmas?
You know what I really
It's Cyber
want
Monday. You better start talking right now.
Well, I know. My favorite Christmas present of all time was my signed Ricky William Heisman UT jersey. That's the kind of girl I am to buy for.
Very good.
Easy.
That's the best
Easy
kind
to buy
of girl.
For.
Yes,
yep.
Absolutely. I might have thought you would have been wishing for somehow USC works its way into the CFP and goes on to win the national title.
Well, if I say it, it's not going to happen. So I don't want to speak that into bad karma.
And that's something you will not get on Cyber Monday. You will not find that online. It is Monday Night Football. We'll get a chance to look at the Ravens and the Texans matchup. A big, big game for the Ravens. They're still arguably in this. They're 5-5, mm-hmm. Texans 4-6. Most of us here in Houston, from where we broadcast, have put a fork in the Texans. This season's probably over at this point.
I think it's tough for any team when you take your full lineup and you subtract out your quarterback, two top pass rushers in the league with J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. Then you add another running back at Dante Foreman. It's going to be tricky.
Tricky times and a tough week for college football coaches. We're going to take a look at what's going on all over college football. A really, really great week. When we come back, you'll be listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So what a week it was in college football.
Oh, my gosh.
All the action on the field, but also all the action off the field. And a lot of coaches left with big college payouts. I mean, they're getting big-time money to just
laughing all the way to the bank in their new unemployment.
I mean, I'm ready for that gig.
Me too. No, what are you saying to me?
I don't know, but you give it back to me. I'll take the payout and go. That'd be just fine.
Some of
those deals are outrageous. But let's go to, a guy who got a great payout was Kevin Sumlin. Mm-hmm. He is ousted at Texas A&M. Really not a surprise. I mean, this is a team that struggled. In fact, there was a bit of a warning at the beginning of the season that if the team didn't have a good year, Sumlin would be gone. So not much of a surprise. In a world with a lot of expectations.
I think you just mentioned the saddest part of it is that Kevin Sumlin knew he wasn't going to have job security in May. I mean, long before this even season started, you know, A&M AD Scott Woodward had said basically, we're not having another 8-5 season or he's gone.
Yep.
And in Kevin Sumlin's years at A&M, he had that 11-2 year with Johnny Manziel under center, winning the Heisman, beating Alabama, fantastic year. The next 3 years went 8-5, and then 7-5 this year. I think this year what killed him was the UCLA loss, besides already the target that was put on his back by his own AD. My question is this for you, David. So do you think this problem at A&M? Is this what a coach can fix, or is this a problem with the program? Because remember, A&M was in the Big 12. They made the switch to the SEC West with Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Ole Miss. This is who they have to play every year. Do you think their expectations are realistic? And I don't know. I'm questioning it out loud, and you're the expert. What do you think?
Well, I actually would never have argued that A&M should go to the SEC.
Agreed.
And then carry with it the expectation that they were going to be a team that could contend for national titles. When you're in that SEC conference and you're playing Auburn and Alabama and LSU every year, and you're A&M, you're, and all the other, but I mean, there's a whole good lineup of teams in that conference. Mm-hmm. You're probably set up to lose at least two, if not five, games every year, and you're not going to be a national contender with 2 to 5 losses every year. And so there's a disconnect between entering into that conference and thinking you're going to compete for a national title.
And unfortunately for Kevin Sumlin, if his records had gone the reverse, 7-5 his first year, 8-5 the next couple, and then ended with an 11-2. He'd still be the coach at A&M.
He just needs another Johnny Football.
Well,
now.
He's got one in Oklahoma. His name's Baker Mayfield. He just has to get him down there, right?
Well, maybe so. But, I mean, that's it's a tough gig to compete in that SEC.
And so you know who they're talking about to come in.
Yes, so Jimbo Fisher comes in. He's got experience. He's got a resume. I don't know if he's a fit in College Station, Texas, but he's certainly a guy who brings some pedigree and probably some recruiting panache.
You know, it's funny because there's so much, we'll talk about it, you know, a little bit in this segment too. There's so much outcry by fans. You know, the Florida fans aren't real pleased with Dan Mullen, the Mississippi State coach, coming in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Tennessee. Yet we're not hearing anything about Jimbo Fisher except excitement. And he's bringing a 5-6 record. I mean, currently they're not even bowl eligible. If he does, in fact, take the A&M job, is that who A&M wants him to lead to the promised land? Because Sumlin had a winning record this year.
Well, I'm going to give him a bit of a pass for this season because he didn't have a starting quarterback. But it's not going to be an easy job for Jimbo Fisher. It's not like he can come in and wave his hand and commit a miracle there. That's a tough place to come and recruit and compete in the SEC.
Well, and, you know, just to be devil's advocate, look at A&M's quarterback situation. They go from Kellen Mond to Nick Starkle to they've lost Kyler Murray, Kyler Allen. I mean, there are issues with A&M with their quarterbacks, and they've had issues ever since Johnny Manziel. So the bottom line is, whatever program you are, you better be set on your quarterback early on, right?
Well, I may be set on my old ways, but I'd rather have A&M go back to the Big 12. Let's reconstitute the great rivalry game against the Longhorns. Let's go that way, and it'll be a different era.
Because, you know, they did really invest, you know, their financial supporters, their boosters, $500 million renovation of Kyle Field at A&M. Yep. And, you know, also paid Kevin Sumlin $5 million a year. So they expect a lot more than 7-5.
Okay, out west, a team that has pretty high expectations as well. UCLA hires Chip Kelly, a guy with a heck of a resume.
Oh, my.
And it's probably I think it's a good fit. I think Chip Kelly is a guy who will recruit well in that marketplace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He'll have a better pool of players from which to draw than he had when he was coaching at Oregon. You know, back in the Oregon days, he had the new offense. Everything was new. He had schemes that were distinct, and he was sort of ahead of defenses at that time. Now he'll come in. The league, the conferences, they've all caught up with him. Everybody in college football knows his offense, but he'll be able to recruit a better set of players in that market.
Sure, California's a hotbed for sure. And, you know, he's getting 5-year, $23 million. That's pretty nice, too. He is the mad scientist, but he knows the Pac-12 intimately. You know, he did very well at Oregon, not well at Philadelphia, terrible at San Francisco. So this is, college is where he needs to be. And UCLA's got a great tradition. Jim Mora did not run the program into the ground. He just couldn't take them to the next level with the talent that he had. But, you know, Chip Kelly will be losing Josh Rosen, most likely. So it'll be interesting, but I think he's sure enough fun to watch.
Well, Josh Rosen has made UCLA fun to watch. I know he will go, but he has certainly elevated the program's stature or following in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. USC's kept them down, though. Gotta love that.
Well, yes, they did. USC with a victory over UCLA last week. But let's go over to Tennessee. This was the big story in the last couple days. They seemingly had settled on their head coach. There was a memorandum of understanding that we're going to hire Schiano. Mm-hmm. all seemed in order, and then all chaos broke loose.
Unbelievable. And it's basically was the fans, the Tennessee fans, felt that Schiano, or at least this is what they say they felt, covered up child rape allegations or child rape situations at Penn State with Sandusky and Paterno. And he was an assistant coach under Joe Paterno during that time. But their claims came from non-specific claims based on third-hand hearsay. So, you know, honestly, I think we just have to say it up front. There's nobody, and I know the two of us in this room, there's no excuse ever to be made for what happened at Penn State. It was absolutely horrific, and Jerry Sandusky is basically spending his life behind bars. Greg Schiano's name was really never mentioned. It was maybe assumed that he may have seen something, but he was never deposed, never investigated, nothing, and has held jobs since then, you know, including right now, currently being at Ohio State. You think Ohio State didn't vet this guy out?
Of course they vetted him.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the same. I mean, he was well vetted. So I really want to fuss at the Tennessee fans because the social media lynch mob won this one. That's exactly what happened.
So do you think it's that they're really concerned about his history at Penn State, or they just didn't like him as a pick, and they used the Penn State story as a way to slay the pick they didn't want in the first place?
I think the latter is true. I think the ultimate problem at Tennessee is the perception of their fans. Because honestly, when that job opened up, I think every Tennessee fan thought, we're getting John Gruden, we're getting John Gruden. And you know the media fed that too? I'll tell you who didn't think they're getting John Gruden is John Gruden. The guy's got the plum job. You know, his wife was a cheerleader at Tennessee. His boys, at least one or two of them have gone there. He is not taking that job. What Tennessee fans need to realize, they are not Alabama. They're not. They're not going to get the tippy-top coach in the country. And Greg Schiano, frankly, was the third man down. You know, that Gruden's not going to take that job. Then they looked at Dan Mullen, who took the Florida job. And so now they're looking at Greg Schiano. I mean, Tennessee fans have a complete misconception.
And so therefore now almost veto power. I mean,
right?
Look, it's not a democracy. They can't vote somebody in. But evidently, in this case at least, they were able to vote somebody off the island.
No, they really were. And I think that is a very scary precedent to set. I mean, this is the first time that an AD that I know of has listened to the fans. I mean, they were right. They had, you know, political people calling in. They spray painted rocks on campus that said, you know, Schiano, you know, whatever he did, covered up child. I hate to say that word, R word. But let's face it, Tennessee's not a terrible program by any means, but they have not been relevant for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. Why do they think that Greg Schiano is not good enough for them? But I think when you have Gruden on the mind, you don't want a Schiano. So I don't know who they think they're getting now, but they've really, I hate to say it, but they really have screwed themselves over, because what coach now of any good stature and relevance wants to come in and take over this mess?
Yeah, how hard would, I mean, if you had the chance to sign a memorandum of understanding right now with Tennessee, with the AD, would you sign that, knowing you'd be subject to the mob? I mean, who knows what they're going to do to you? Interestingly, Jason Witten's name was floated around.
And that was hilarious. He's still on the roster, right, for the Cowboys.
Jason has a job, and he caught passes last week on Sunday.
And he's really good at his job.
So I don't think that it's an imminent decision for him. But it is hard to see who would step into this sort of crazy environment now.
It really is. And for the AD to succumb to this kind of social media pressure and the squeaky wheel getting the grease. Because you look at Schiano now, he took a dead end program at Rutgers. And again, Tennessee, don't mistake me, is not a dead end program. But he led Rutgers to 6 bowl games, which was enough to make them relevant and get into the Big Ten. So he can do some things. He can make things happen. And he's coaching right now under Urban Meyer, who I think is the, you know, one of the top 2 coaches in college football next to Nick Saban. You could do worse, Tennessee. You could do worse.
All right. That's Carla on Tennessee. And we're going to come back with Jerry Palm, the CBS college football analyst. And we'll ask him his thoughts on what's taking place in Tennessee, as well as who's going to end up in the college football playoffs.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio, Jerry Palm, CBS college football expert. Jerry, what a weekend it was. We had the Thanksgiving weekend, and are you the one who can make sense out of everything that's going to happen?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, it's not college football if we don't have some level of chaos, right?
Yep.
Alabama probably falls out of the top four this week. Miami certainly falls out of the top four this week. But the difference between those two is that Miami's still playing.
Yep.
They're going to get a shot at the likely number one Clemson and a chance to get back into the playoff picture if they win. Whereas Alabama, all they can do is sit around and hope enough dominoes fall around them to give them another chance.
And, Jerry, what are those dominoes for Alabama? If they, you know, obviously they're not going to be playing in the championship weekend, this next weekend. What is it going to take for them? Who's going to have to fall for them to get into the semifinals?
Well, for sure, the ACC champion is going to be in the playoff, and the SEC champion, Auburn or Georgia, will be in the playoff.
Yep.
So that leaves, you know, Oklahoma and Wisconsin, the two teams that can win their way in without any help this weekend. So Alabama needs at least one of those teams to lose, maybe both, and then, you know, have the committee evaluate them as being, you know, one of the top four teams remaining, and in which case they're competing at that point with most likely Ohio State and TCU, each of which would be 11-2. And, you know, the thing about all of these teams is that they're all flawed at some level. Even undefeated Wisconsin is flawed in the sense of not having a very good schedule. But, you know, in the end of the day, the committee's job is to pick the four best teams. And at 11-1, you know, Alabama could be one of those four best teams.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, CBS college football expert. So let's look at the Big 12. Oklahoma, TCU, a rematch game. Do you see Oklahoma pulling out this win and going on to the championship series?
Yes, I believe Oklahoma will win, but certainly TCU is capable. Kind of unfortunate for them. They're going to play Oklahoma twice and not have either one of those games at home. But
yep.
I guess Dallas is as close to home as TCU can get. TCU is good enough to win this game. But Oklahoma's just been so hot lately, especially Baker Mayfield. Their offense has been clicking on all cylinders, and TCU is going to have to find a way to slow them down. One of the, I guess, more unusual things about this TCU team is that they've shown that they can win a shootout type of game, but I don't think they can win a shootout with Oklahoma. They're going to have to hold them down a little bit, turn them over to keep that offense in check.
And Oklahoma's, if they have any weakness, it is definitely they can go as far as their defense takes them, but they've got Baker Mayfield, who right now is the front runner for the Heisman. Who is your Heisman pick, Jerry, and do you think that Mayfield's obscene gestures versus Kansas last week or 2 weeks ago cost him any stock in his Heisman votes?
Well, it'll probably cost him some. I think there are some people that'll be turned off by that. I certainly wouldn't tolerate that very well if I was a coach, and I think Lincoln Riley ended up handling that appropriately. He took away something that meant something to him, and you hope there's a lesson in that, because doesn't seem that has happened in the past with him. But I think that, you know, there really isn't another outstanding candidate. I mean, there's some other very good players, but nobody who's really taken over the season the way Baker Mayfield has. So I think that he will win the Heisman Trophy, and I would probably vote for him if I had a vote.
Okay, Jerry, I have to tell you, I'm in love with Bryce Love as the second runner-up in the Heisman race at the moment. And I look at Stanford over the recent history. They have had four bridesmaids in this race with Toby Gerhart, Andrew Luck twice, and Christian McCaffrey all coming second. Speak about this East Coast bias.
Well, I don't know that it's all East Coast bias. Some of it's probably just bad luck. I like Bryce Love a lot. I think the fact that he's been injured at the end of the season has limited his ability to really compete for the Heisman Trophy. But he's a terrific player, and hopefully he'll be healthy enough to go this weekend in the Pac-12 title game, because they've got a chance to play in the New Year's Six if they can get a win.
Right, and it's a short turnaround for them, too, with the Friday night game.
Yeah, for sure.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, CBS Sports college football analyst. So Chip Kelly goes to UCLA. Did that surprise you, and what kind of fit do you think there is?
Well, no, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, if he was going to come back to college football, that's the kind of a job he would come back for. Florida would have surprised me, because he just doesn't seem like a good fit given his background for Florida. But UCLA, you know, that's a place where, you know, you can get players because you're in California, and he can get the guys, the kind of guys that he needs to run the offense he wants to run. And, you know, he's obviously been a winner at the college level, even though he didn't succeed at the pro level. But, you know, that's a lot of guys do that. They'll be good at college. They go to the pros. They don't succeed. It's rare that you find the guy that does. So Chip Kelly's back in his comfort zone as a coach, and I think he has a chance to be very successful at UCLA.
I hope not too successful. I'm a USC girl, so I have to allegiance told. So this week, it was as crazy off-field as it was on-field, Jerry, with all these hirings and firings going on across college football. Have you ever seen anything like the Shiano, Tennessee debacle?
No. I mean, we've seen coaches accept jobs and then, you know, have it either pulled out from under them or have them change their mind, you know. But we haven't seen anything where just, you know, public outcry botched a hire like that. It's, I guess it's part of being in the age of social media. And honestly, you know, I think it really speaks to the dysfunction that's going on at Tennessee. You know, it's just you've got a fan base that does not have realistic expectations for what they can accomplish on the field and what they can get as a coach for that program. You know, Greg Schiano was a pretty good college coach, and everybody says, well, he was a 500 guy. Yeah, but he was a 500 guy at Rutgers and had him in the top 10 at one point. So, you know, if you can win at Rutgers to the level that he was able to do, you could win pretty much anywhere, although another guy who went to try the NFL and didn't work out for him.
Which isn't unusual, I think, with college coaches, right? Not all of them transfer well into
Jimmy
the NFL.
Jimmy Johnson's the exception, you know? Yeah, it's pretty typical for that to happen. So, you know, Schiano will probably get a head coaching job again at some point. The whole Penn State thing is you know, dubious. You know, Dan Wetzel wrote a great column about it if you want to read up on it. He covered that story extensively, the Sandusky story. And, you know, Schiano was never investigated, never tried, never even interviewed. So, you know, there's nothing there substantive to tie him to any of the misdeeds at Penn State. But Tennessee fans were looking to grab anything, and so they smeared a guy to get him out of that job. And so now, though, if you're a coach and you're looking at what's going on in Tennessee, like, do you really want that job? You want to deal with that fan base right now?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think these Tennessee fans have kind of messed themselves up with this. Who wants to step
well,
in?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a dysfunctional fan base anyway. I mean, all fan bases have got some level of delusion in terms of what they, you know, expect. But Tennessee is pretty advanced at that.
Advanced to delusion, yes. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for joining us. That's Jerry Palm, CBS College Football Analyst. We really appreciate the insights and for your joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
All right, thanks.
So, Carla, just looking at your face as he was talking about the East Coast bias or the
You're
West.
Am I that obvious?
Yes.
I know I am.
You disagree with him on this. You think there is a voting bias in favor of the East Coast, or maybe I should say against the West Coast?
Yes, I think it's more against the
West
Coast.
Right, for the Heisman.
I think that's very true. Yeah, and let me give you one simple thing. What other Power 5 conference do you know that has the tagline, Pac-12 after dark? Do you see SEC after dark? ACC after dark? Nope. It's just the Pac-12. So if it's dark on the West Coast, I am guarantee you they're deep in slumber on the East Coast. And I look at, just for example, I named the four, you know, just the four Stanford guys in recent history who have been the runner-up. Christian McCaffrey, he broke Barry Sanders' all-purpose rushing record and did not win the Heisman.
He was an extraordinary candidate. I mean, I can only shake my head.
I know. I mean, do you agree with me? Do you think I'm crazy?
And Andrew Luck was exceptional. I mean,
two years in a row, he was the runner-up.
And he really took Stanford's team back up to national prominence again.
He and Jim Harbaugh together really was amazing. Their last Heisman coming out of Stanford was 1971, Jim Plunkett. Love that guy. But really, 1971? Wow.
It's an interesting record.
Yeah, I guess you pay the price living in paradise, right?
I guess so, and it is paradise out there. Well, when we come back, we are going to debrief all the big games of the weekend and take a deep dive look at the college football playoffs and who's likely to fit in the Final Four. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So I'm going to concede right out of the gate that I thought Alabama would win the Iron Bowl, run the table, and secure the national title.
Well, I think you're along with most people.
And I actually will concede that at the start of the second half of that game, when Alabama came straight down the field, and in about four or five plays looked so dominant, and Scarborough with the long run, I thought, well, this is the moment when Alabama shows its real muscle. And Alabama and Auburn would just fade away. I was convinced of it. And then Auburn came back. I mean, Auburn just kept fighting on, and they were really, really impressive in that game. It's sort of interesting to me because as I look back on it, much of the storyline was less that Auburn won the game, but, oh, my gosh, Alabama lost.
Right, right. And you really have to credit Auburn. And it was in Auburn's house.
Yes.
Which is helpful because remember 2013? That was the 109-yard return of a missed field goal that beat number one Alabama at home for Auburn.
Yep.
It was kind of a, you know, a similar environment with that, with people jumping through the hedges at the end and all of that. To me, I had cause to pause about Alabama because of week 12, which was last week, their 56-0 shellacking of Mercer. What in the world is Alabama doing playing Mercer in week 12? Like, you get what you get with your conference. And I know early on, you know, many schools schedule those type of games up front, kind of fine-tuning things before this conference play kicks off. I think that turned out to bite them in the rear because there was no fine-tuning or anything. They just ran over this poor team from Mercer. And how can you come back and expect to be sharpened and ready for number six Auburn the following week? And clearly they weren't.
No, they weren't the same team. Mm-mm. The other notable thing about their whole season is the schedule really didn't turn out to be very tough. When you now look at who Alabama has played, the whole body of work, the regular scheme, I mean, it just didn't play out. Those, some of the teams that should have been good really weren't good. And so Alabama's whole body of work is not very impressive.
It's not, because the only ranked teams besides number three, Florida State, which was week one,
yep,
which we quickly saw the Florida State was not even worthy of being in the top 25.
They sit today with a losing record.
Exactly, and about to probably lose their head coach to A&M. But other than that, the only ranked teams that they played were number 19, LSU, which they won, and number 16, Mississippi State, which they barely won. So they've had a surprisingly soft schedule for a typical Alabama. But let's at the same time not discount what Auburn is doing. In 3 weeks, they have knocked off two number ones in Georgia and Alabama. This is when you want to be peaking.
Yep. No, they did it. And wow. Hats off to Auburn. They've got a big matchup coming up with Georgia. The rematch, I think it's really hard to beat a good team like Georgia in a short window of time, beat them twice. So that stands as a mighty task.
No, it does. And do you think Alabama deserves a spot in the college football playoffs?
Well, so I'm actually at the point where I think it's good for college football if Alabama were to sit out the playoffs, mm-hmm, because it's almost been too much a fait accompli that Alabama is a team that's going to, mm-hmm, be there. To actually have 1 year, it feels like forever, but 1 year when Alabama's not there, I think would be very beneficial. Do I think they'll get there? I actually think there's a significant still chance that they make it. I mean, clearly a couple things have to go their way. I think Auburn will likely beat Georgia. I think we'll see in the Final Four, we'll see the championship of the ACC, the champion of the, yep, SEC. But if the Big 12, if TCU beats Oklahoma, there's not going to be a Big 12 representative there, and then the door is open.
That's exactly right. I think the path for Alabama would be Wisconsin losing to Ohio State in the Big 10, mm-hmm, and TCU knocking off OU.
Yep.
And if either of those two happen, I think we're going to see Saban getting back in there,
yes,
again.
And then dueling, I mean, if they get in, they are going to be formidable. I mean, I would not be, not want to play Alabama.
They're my Patriots of college football. You can never count them out. I just really, yeah. I mean, they've got some kinks in their armor. That is for sure. And this is the first time we've seen that in a long time. And to their defense, their defense is very beat up. You know, they've lost some really key players, and that makes a big difference, especially in the SEC.
Now, Oklahoma took care of business against West Virginia, which is a pretty good matchup.
You love to talk about your little Baker Mayfield, don't you?
Well, I am a big fan of Baker Mayfield. As I said last week, I think he's electric. I think he's fun to watch. I love the way he moves in the pocket. His field vision is exceptional. He's my choice for the Heisman. He was at the beginning of the year, I might remind you.
Yes, you've stuck with it. Yes,
I've stuck with Baker. Through the ups and downs, he's not always been an easy guy to love, but he's impressive on the field. And really, Oklahoma's offense just seems unstoppable right now.
No, they really do. Now, I will say they are, you know, Oklahoma this weekend, number four, playing an unranked West Virginia team who put up 31 points on Oklahoma. And again, I've said this before, too, taking Mayfield out of the equation because he is on fire and he can really ignite that team. But they're going to go as far as that defense can take them. That's their weak spot.
And so they, too, have a rematch game against a very good TCU team. How do you see that game shaping up?
I you know, you don't want to hear this, but I want to see TCU shake it up. And again, it's kind of the same we said with Auburn and Georgia that you mentioned. It's hard to beat a team at this level twice.
Yep.
And so we'll see. If Kenny Hill is on his game, you know, TCU is a very strong team, both sides of the ball, nice complementary football, but they've got to have no mistakes against an OU team. So we'll see.
All right, let's look at the Big Ten. Ohio State with a good win last week.
Oh, my gosh. Over Michigan. That was a weird game. Did you watch it?
I watched it.
I did, too.
I did not see JT Barrett get injured by a cameraman.
No, because that was pregame. What a tough kid he is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But it was quite boring in the beginning. I thought, what is going on here? Poor Jim Harbaugh. 0-3 against his nemesis. In his 3 years at Michigan, he cannot beat Ohio State. But JT Barrett single-handedly was Ohio State's offense in the first half.
When he's on, he's on.
Whoa. And I really do think that for Ohio State to advance beyond the conference championship, they have got to get some creativity in that offense. Mm-hmm. You cannot depend on JT Barrett for every single play. And hopefully he's going to go. But redshirt freshman quarterback Dwayne Haskins was money. That guy had to come in and he, you know, 6 minutes into the third quarter, he was unbelievable. Boy, they've got their next guy up. No problem. That was great to see.
And so facing Wisconsin, Ohio State will be the best team that Wisconsin will have played all year.
By far.
I mean, Wisconsin's had a cupcake schedule.
Yes, they have.
And now they face an Ohio State team that really has everything to play for. If they win the Big Ten, they might be in the college football playoff as well.
Right. I think the only way Wisconsin gets in is to win out.
No doubt.
They have to. They've had a really soft schedule. They're on the easy side of the Big Ten. Ohio State, I think of all the teams right now in their championship games, has had the toughest schedule, strength of schedule-wise. But, you know, they're spotty. They're all over the place. So we'll see. It's going to be a great game, though, I hope. We'll see.
So the ACC championship
is a playoff elimination game.
It really is. Clemson or Miami, one of them's going to make it. Who do you like in that one?
I love Clemson.
I do too.
Who wants to bet against Dabo Swinney?
Yep.
My gosh. And Brian Kelly, Kelly Bryant keeps getting better and better. And this is what you want to see. It's what we're seeing with Jarrett Stidham at Auburn too. You want to be peaking about now, like just continue on that upward climb.
Yep.
You don't want the reverse. So I love me a little Clemson.
Okay, speaking of your loves in life, which is always a hot topic.
Which I have
here.
A lot.
Yes, well, everybody wants to know about your loves. One of your top loves in life, USC.
Yes.
We were just bantering the hallway before we came on the air that USC, the Trojans, are not out of the possibility of the college football playoffs.
And that banter was from a former USC quarterback.
Well, okay, Sean Salisbury, he may have a bias, as you do as well. But there is a scenario, and we actually talked it through. It's not that outrageous. USC, if they beat Stanford big and they win the Pac-12 championship.
Which is Friday night.
And they could win the big, though they could win. They might, well, they probably will. They'll say they're the Pac-12 champion. TCU beats Oklahoma, so there's no Big 12 champion in the playoff game, and therefore USC gets in. You buy it?
Well, that would be my Christmas present.
You'd like
that. I would not need one other thing.
And Sam Darnold, but some of that would have to be that USC then would get in ahead of someone like Alabama, a great team who wants to find their way in but doesn't have a conference championship. USC would have to get in, and part of the logic to get in is, one, USC would be a conference championship, and two, there'd be some bias to bring in a West Coast team that we're stacked over on the East Coast or central part of the country, that it would be good for college football to have a Pac-12 team, the champion of Pac-12 in the college football playoff.
You're right. It would be good. It would be good for college football. I don't know that this committee is brave enough to put a Pac-12 team in there, because no one really thinks of, I get the feeling that the Pac-12 is kind of scoffed at, is not that tough of a conference. But interestingly enough, USC's got the number 7 strength of schedule of all FBS teams. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame can't touch that. Alabama can't touch that. Clemson can't touch that. I mean, they've got a tough, a really high strength of schedule, which could help them. But they would have to not only beat Stanford, but beat them handily. Because this past weekend, a number 21 Stanford absolutely shellacked Notre Dame, number 8 Notre Dame, to really make them relevant. Stanford isn't going into any of the semifinal games, but a big win by USC coming off of a big win Stanford over Notre Dame sure makes a better case.
Yes, it set the table.
It sets the table.
It's all there for Sam Darnold and Carla Dawson and Sean Salisbury and all those USC people out there.
Fight on, men of Troy. Here we go.
Now, Miami fell to Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that surprised me.
That was so surprising. What Clemson's got to hope, if you're a Clemson fan, you don't have the angry Hurricanes with their chain gang coming into the championship game. Because that was a shocker. It's a shocker to me. They couldn't get that. They could not get that offense moving. Even replacing their quarterback at one point. You know, they amassed a total of 229 yards that game.
Tough day.
What happened?
Just not there. They, Miami, I think they'll bounce back and be competitive, but I just can't see they're winning this game.
No, I'm looking at Clemson for this one. They just have quietly, I love what Clemson has done. They start, as a national champion, they start the preseason poll at number 5.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
no, that would never happen to Alabama.
No, it would never happen to Alabama, but it also says something about a guy named Deshaun Watson.
It does. It clearly does. And what we've seen is that Kelly Bryant is very much a prototype of Deshaun Watson, which we didn't know going into the season.
Nope.
But what I would say with Alabama, when I say that would never happen, you look at the quarterbacks that have come through Alabama, Jake Coker. I mean, who are these game managers? And that's never a factor. They're always number one, no matter if they've won the national championship game or not. So I love that Clemson, there was no whining about it. There was no complaining. They just took their lumps and they're just quietly have moved up to number one in the AP poll. And we'll see what the College Football Playoff Committee has to say tomorrow.
So tomorrow we'll get a new look at it. Who are you going to be your top four for tomorrow?
It's definitely going to be Clemson.
Yep.
Oklahoma. Are you happy with that? Auburn. And who's my four?
Well, Wisconsin, I guess.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Until they play Ohio State, I think.
You can't take an undefeated in a Power 5 conference and not have them in the semis.
Right.
So those are my people. And Alabama, I see as number 5 on the outside looking in.
And we're okay with that.
I'm very okay with that. I like a little shake, shake, shake it up.
Shake it up. She likes to shake it up. She is the gloss and I'm the boss. And when we come back, we'll give you an update on Monday Night Football, where the Ravens and the Texans are playing an important game for the Ravens. We'll be right back. The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, in this little wrap-up of the first hour, we can note that the Texans have jumped out to the lead in Monday Night Football. The Texans leading the Ravens 7-0 with 3 minutes remaining in the first quarter.
Well, that's exciting for the Texans.
Well, it is. Texan season probably over. And the Ravens still in it. They stand 5-5. They are behind the Steelers in the AFC North, who have a record of 9-2. But the Ravens are in the wild card hunt.
You know what's interesting about this? So you look at Baltimore, who have been, their defense have been so impressive. 3 shutouts in 10 games. They're leading the NFL with 16 interceptions. Tom Savage is leading the league with 9 turnovers in 5 games. So this will be interesting to see which one of those comes out on top.
Well, Tom Savage showed up last week.
Sure did.
And he was not the same guy that he was just, well, at the beginning of the season when he struggled in the first half and was benched right away or came back and tried to fill in for Watson. So who knows? Right now he's got the Texans moving with a 7-0 lead.
Well, we'll take it.
Flacco has looked pretty good, but with Jadeveon Clowney has been in the backfield a number of times already this evening.
Well, he continues to be such a great, not surprise for the Texans, but, you know, he had such a slow start with injuries. But Clowney, right now, this season, has a career-high 8 sacks and 15 tackles for loss. For his career, 18.5 sacks and 42 tackles for loss.
Amazing. So here he is. I mean,
he's doing everything for that.
It just raises that sort of
defense.
What might have been if you could have had Clowney and Watt and Merciless all in your front seven.
And Cushing.
And of course.
Covington. We don't, you know, Christian Covington's out too. So
yeah.
Really, Clowney, well, I hope the rest of the defense can step up and support him, but he's been a superstar. And then, you know, there's DeAndre Hopkins too, which is also 9 touchdowns, 62 receptions this year, averaging 14.2 yards a catch. Pretty nice for the Texans. So they've got some bright spots in what is otherwise a very disappointing, depressing season with injuries.
Well, so DeAndre Hopkins called the quarterback maker because he does so well for them. You have been called the quarterback picker. You really picked, well, you picked out Deshaun Watson. You thought he was destined for greatness. You sort of dissed Deshaun Kizer, said, no, he's never going anywhere.
He's just not ready.
He's not ready. You weren't high on Trubisky.
Clear, totally
you didn't think Trubisky was going to do that well, and he certainly struggled. Relative to Watson, I mean, you were high. You wanted Watson. You were not high on the other two. You're the quarterback picker, right?
Okay. If that's what you want to call me, I'll take it.
When we come back, we're going to take a look at the NFL and what happened to Trubisky. Why you were right yet again.
Okay, I like this.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.